closer in your relationships these days? Tell me the truth now. Come on. Probably most of us here could use a little bit of help getting closer with our loved ones. In fact, let me ask you this. How many of you today and you don't have to raise your hand, have a strained relationship? That is, you are going through a time in your life when things could be better with your loved ones. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a spouse. It could be a husband or a wife. It might be a mom or a dad. It might be a brother or sister. It might be some other family member. But probably all of us could use reconnecting or connecting this Thanksgiving season. And I want to share with you what the Lord is entitling my heart as I've been thinking this week. Don't be a turkey this Thanksgiving, all right? Don't be a gobble, gobble, gobble turkey this Thanksgiving. You know, speaking of being a turkey this Thanksgiving and speaking of getting closer with our relationships, it reminded me of the story of the old boy that was getting married, and he had a fear that his fiance, his wife, would find out that he had stinking feet. His feet stunk, and so he was afraid that she'd find out about it. Well, meanwhile, she had bad breath, and she was afraid her husband would discover that she had bad breath. So their honeymoon, according to the story, he woke up about middle of the night, and he discovered his sock was off of his feet. He wore socks to keep his feet from stinking. He discovered his sock was off of his feet, and about that time, 1 o'clock in the morning, he woke up and said, "Where's my sock?" Well, about that time, his wife leaned over, got right in his face, breathed right in his face, said, "What sock?" He said, "Woo, you swallowed my sock." All right. Hey, look, reconnecting with your family, reconnecting with your family. Now, you can act spiritual if you want to. By the way, I was thinking on the way over here to church today, you know, some people don't feel like they need church. They're too super spiritual. I need it, amen. I need the Lord. I need the blessings of God. I need to be instructed in the Word of God. And I believe today all of us could use some help in adding some ingredients, if you will, to our relationships. And I'm going to trust God is going to use this today to be a blessing to you, especially as we gather together with our families this Thanksgiving. And I want you to take the Bible and find, please, the book of Colossians. Find Colossians and look with me, please, in chapter 3. Don't be a turkey this Thanksgiving. Don't be a turkey this Thanksgiving. And I hope you're taking notes today, beloved, because the Lord quickened this in my heart. I never preached this from this text before, and I am convinced that God has a message for us today. And I believe that all of us will be gathered together with our family. Matter of fact, how many are you going to be gathering with your family some point in time over the next week? Come on, let me see your hand. Probably you will. Well, don't you want to have a lasting relationship? Don't you want to have meaningful time with your family? You don't want to just eat turkey and dressing and sit there and watch a ball game all day long and feel like you wasted your time. In fact, some of us, as we get ready to get together with our family, we're all stressed out already. I mean, we're kind of ready to, well, let's just go ahead and do what we got to do, and then I'm going to leave. Well, that ought not to be the case, beloved. We ought to be prepared to make the most of our relationships. And I think God is going to help us today if we'll be willing to let the Lord help us. Now, look at me up here just a moment. Everybody look up here just a moment, please. How many of you now really honestly could use some work in your relationships? Let's be honest now. Let's don't play church today. Let's be really honest. I believe there's some husbands and wives that are sitting here today that, the truth be known, there's some things that you could improve on. We could all use improvement in our relationships. So, I'm going to read from the book of Colossians chapter 3. But before I do, let me just tell you a little background. Of course, Paul is in prison. He's writing this epistle, and evidently he did not go to this particular church. However, many believe that he probably sent the letter by a man by the name of Epaphras, or perhaps someone else. Interesting to note, it was about a little over a few years ago, I stood right here and the place in Turkey, that is Asia Minor, where the Church of Colossae was once believed to have been. At any rate, and the theme of the book of Colossians is the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is sufficient for every one of our needs. Oh, bless his holy name. And not only that, but evidently Paul was refuting, yes, he was countering some of the Gnosticism, those Gnostics, and that is knowledge, by the way, that were advocating or saying that people had to cut themselves in order to be spiritual. We call that asceticism. Or others were saying, no, you got to worship angels in order to really get into this spiritual realm. However, Paul, again, led by the Holy Spirit, was absolutely articulating through the Spirit of God that Jesus Christ is deity. That is, he is God. So we come to chapter 1 and find out that he is the image of the invisible God. That word image is the word icon, which means exactly the same. And through his blood we have redemption. We're delivered from the powers of darkness and translated to the kingdom of his dear son. That's in verse 13. And in all things he might have the preeminence. That's in verse 18. We come to chapter 2 of the book of Colossians and we find out that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. That's chapter 2 and verse 9. And in him we're made complete. And that is in chapter 2, verse 10. That word complete means pleroma. The word is, it means totality. In other words, he's brought it out, the handwriting of the ordinances against us, having nailed it to his cross and stripped and spoiled principality in 14 and 15. Then we come to chapter 3. In chapter 3, there's a lot of references in regards to our position in Christ. Namely, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. He said, since you've been risen with Christ. He's not talking about future, but he's talking about past. Aorist tense. We have been seated with Christ. We are now in him and he's in us, the hope of glory. Now, we come to chapter 3, and if you'll notice, as we begin to work through chapter 3, we'll come to particularly the latter part of chapter 3, and he all of a sudden, Paul, led of the Holy Ghost, begins to define the role of a husband, a wife, and a parent, and a child, and furthermore, an employer and an employee. And then he closes in chapter 4. But I said all that to bring us to chapter 3. Would you stand to your feet as we read chapter 3? I want to just zero in maybe a couple of verses and then come back to fill in the blanks as we think today. Don't be a turkey this Thanksgiving. Building, reconnecting, and connecting in relationships. If we miss this, we miss it all. And of course, the first and the foremost relationship is ours with the Lord God Almighty through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. All right, we're looking today. Now, if you would, please, look at verse 17 for the sake of time. Keep your Bibles open and begin to mark because we'll come back and reference several verses in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 17, if you're there, say amen. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Giving thanks to God, giving thanks to God. Say that with me. Giving thanks to God. Say it again. One more time. Giving thanks to God by him. Don't be a turkey this Thanksgiving. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't be a turkey this Thanksgiving. Don't be a turkey. That was a turkey with post-nasal rib, wasn't it? All right. Hey, Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you that you have got us ordained. You predestined that we should be here at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church on this blessed Sunday morning. And Father, you see the beginning and the end and everything in between. You're able to heal the hurts of the past. You're able to rebuild the broken down walls. You're able to restore, dear God, relationships we have with our extended family. And I'm convinced, Father, you want to do a work this day for your glory. Prepare us, Lord. Give us insight. Give us hindsight. Give us foresight. Cleanse us afresh with the washing of water of the word. And I'm must decrease, but you must increase. I love you today because of your great love for me, and I'm here because you saved me, you redeemed me, you're coming back for me, you made me, you bought me, and I owe my very life to you. I pray for your people today that you'll fill us afresh, that, dear God, you'll open our eyes, our hearts to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, eternal word, and we'll be changed by the power of a living God. I pray, Father, you'll dig deep within the recesses of our heart. Give us grace to be honest. Give us grace, Father, to yield our mind, our will, our emotions, and let you have your way with us. And we'll thank you and praise you because it's all about you. And we give you glory now because you are worthy. Thank you for the time of worship and praise. Thank you, Father, for those who've gathered. I pray, dear Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Christ of Nazareth. Lord, you build stronger relationships in our marriages, stronger relationships between parents and children, stronger, dear God, spiritually founded relationships with those friends and extended family. And we give you glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen and amen. Are you taking notes now? You need this. I believe this is one of those messages that you'll need to go back to and go back to and go back to. Why? Here are four ingredients. Do you really want to get closer to your family? How many got a family member you hadn't talked with in a while? Come on, talk to me. How many got somebody in your family that you're just really not close to? In fact, is you probably won't even see them this Thanksgiving. But God is saying to you today, it doesn't have to be that way. Don't you accept less than heaven's best? And let's just ask God to help us today, and he will. And the church said amen and amen. Only one person said amen in the church, and the church said amen. All right, very good. Hey, number one, the first ingredient or the first way you can connect and reconnect with your family is this: calm down and slow down. Simple. Calm down and slow down. I find that in verse number 8. We'll come back to it in a moment. Number 2, the second way that you and I can reconnect and connect with our family, and we can make the most of our relationships, we can build stronger relationships, lasting relationships, loving relationships, and we can experience a little heaven here on earth. Number 2, I find out that if we're going to do that, we've got to, number 2, exercise forgiveness with thanksgiving. Number 1, calm down and slow down and give thanks. I forgot to add that. And give thanks. Number 2, exercise forgiveness with thanksgiving. We'll find that in verse number 12, actually verse 13. Number 3, if we're going to have stronger relationships with our families, which is the ultimate goal that God wants for us as we experience his grace and his love and extend it to our own family. Number 3. Listen to me. Being right is not always right. You got it? Being right is not always right. You can be right and be wrong. Exactly. And we'll find that in a moment in verse 14 of Colossians chapter 3. Number 4, and finally, Lord permitting, time willing, and it's this. Number 4, you ready? Choose your words, guard your heart, and say thank you. Got it? 4 ways that God is going to build stronger relationships in your family and my family, and stronger marriages, and stronger with our children and grandchildren. Number one, calm down and slow down and give thanks. Calm down. Say it with me. Calm down. One more time. Calm down. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need to calm down. Y'all aren't saying to your neighbor, I know, I can always tell when there's a strain in a relationship. You won't do what I ask you to do, all right? I understand. Well, anyway, calm down. Just calm down. Don't be a Thanksgiving turkey. Don't be a Thanksgiving turkey. Well, you're going to be a turkey this year if you don't do what God's telling you to do. You just say, well, I bless God, I think my relationships are all right, and it's all their fault, and it's not my fault. You keep going in life like that, and you'll never have good relationships. Hey, look, number 1, calm down and slow down and give thanks. Look at verse 8 of chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 8. But now, said Paul, ye have also put off. Put off, that's in the aorist tense, means not something you do in the future, rather something those believers had already done because of their personal relationship with God. They had been joined to him, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We call those identificational truths. We call those deeper life truths. We call that positional, yea, practical truths. But look again. But now you put off these what? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. So number 1, if we're going to have closer relationships, if we're going to have the kind of relationships that God intended us to have, I know the devil is real, but praise God, God is stronger than the devil. Amen. And so number 1, if we're going to have those kind of relationships and not be a turkey at Thanksgiving, number 1, we got to calm down. Calm down and slow down. I'm reminded of Martha and Mary. It was Martha who was in the kitchen. She was very busy. We find that in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And it was Martha that was very outwardly agitated and inwardly anxious. There was nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. Jesus loved the family. Who? Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He loved to be with them. Martha, you're doing a good thing, but Martha, your attitude has kind of gotten bad. Calm down, Martha. Slow down, Martha. Martha said, I got to get the bread on the table. I've got to get the tea and the glasses. I've got to get everything just right. And she's busy, busy in a frenzy of activity. How many know this is exactly what Thanksgiving will entail if we're not careful? Trying to get everything done. And if it's not Thanksgiving, it'll spill over into Christmas. Running here, running there, meeting here, getting the right gift. How can I do it all? Oh, it's a wonderful time of the year. But if we're not careful, we can get stressed and we just need to calm down. Say it closely. Y'all don't take this literally. But if we are not careful, before we even get with our family, we've already got a bone to pick. How many know that terminology? A bone to pick. I started to say something else, but I just chose not to say that. Rather, a bone to pick with our family. That is, we've already got something up front that we've got a bone to pick with them. Are we kind of a little agitated about this or that? Or they didn't come last year, or they didn't call us, and we hadn't heard from them in a long time, and we're just about ready to blast them. When we do get together, we've got, I was going to say this. You got to be hesitant about saying things. I was going to say we had our guns loaded. Got to be careful about that. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. And what we need to do is just calm down. Say it with me. Calm down. Martha, calm down. Jesus, get Mary up. Mary, can't you help me? Mary, you see what happens when we are all uptight. When the upright get uptight. Notice, when the upright get uptight. You get uptight, don't you? I do. I know you do as well. Y'all can act like you don't, but I believe you do. When the upright get uptight, things are going wrong. Bills are rolling in the mail. Things, you know, this and that. I mean, calm down. Slow down. Jesus, tell Mary to get up and help me. You know what I find? I find out a complaining spirit is a result of not calming down and slowing down. And it's easy to nitpick and fault find each other. You know, Martha's doing a good thing. How many times do we have in our work world, you have somebody that nitpicks and fault finds? Working hard, nothing wrong with working hard. But then when we work hard, then we look around at somebody else not working and say, tell them to get up and help. Then we develop a bad attitude. And that's where, very important, beloved, that we maintain a calm down. Slow down, calm down. Yes, speaking of calming down, Wednesday night I was here and had the privilege of teaching on the evangelism. We've been going through that with some of our adults, and it was a wonderful study together. I got in my car getting ready to go home. I turned the key, and it cranked up and then died down. I cranked it up again, and it died down. I cranked it up a third time, and it died down. How many know that's not good? Finally, the fourth time I tried it, it did nothing, zero. A red light was lighted on the dash. In fact, let me back up a moment, because it happened to me just a few days before that. I was here at the church, and the exact same thing happened. What do you do when you don't know what to do? You call Brother Chris, amen, and say, hey, man, I need some help. Anyway, between both of us together, I went to the Google. When we don't have anything to do, find YouTube and find out if anybody else has had this trouble. Long story short, I took the negative post off the battery of my car, which is in the trunk, by the way. Give it 10 minutes to deactivate the code. According to the book, for some reason, the Chryslers do this. And then after 10 minutes, put the negative post back on the battery, turn the key, runs like a champ. I said, hey, calm down and slow down. How many know it's not good when your car don't crank? Somebody say amen. You know what I'm talking about. How many take your car for granted? Let me see your hand. Come on now. You take your truck for, you let that thing not crank today in the parking lot. Let's see how happy you will be, all right? You let it go down to the store and the thing won't crank. Let's see how happy you are. All right. And like Kathy said a minute ago, in everything, give thanks. Would you give thanks when you're stranded on the middle of the road and it's dark and it's at night and you can't crank your car? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, long story short, I said, well, bless ask God, something must be wrong. It might be the key. It might be the ignition. It might be the car. I don't know what it is. So what did I do? I took it up there to Chrysler Dodge place in Covington. How many think that's not a bad idea? I went up to the counter of the repair department. I said, hey, man, I'm having trouble with the car. I told them what it would do, and it wouldn't do it. It wouldn't crank. And sometimes it goes down. They looked at me and said, well, sir, is it cranking now? I said, yes, it is. They said, well, what you're going to have to do is wait until it cuts. I said, do I have stupid written over my head? Hello? They said, yes, you do. No, I'm just kidding. They said, did you try choking it? And I said, if I could, I would. All right. No, I really didn't say that. But here's the deal. I said, man, I'm not going to wait till it breaks down on the side of the road. I don't know what it is. Well, you can buy this. You can buy this. You know, it's an elimination. You try this, put this on it, put on that. All I'm saying is this. Calm down. Calm down. Your time's coming. Hello. Your time's coming. Hey, number one, if we are going to have the relationships God wants us to have, we got to calm down, slow down. That's right. I heard about one little boy said to his mama, said, mama, he come home from Sunday school. He said, mama, I know one thing. She said, what'd you do in Sunday school? He said, we learned about God. She said, what'd you learn about God? He said, I learned one thing God cannot do. She said, beg your pardon? He said, I know one thing God can't do. She said, you must have misunderstood. God can do anything. He said, mama, I know one thing God can't do. She said, what? He said, God can't please everybody. God can't please everybody. He's right. God can't please everybody. Tell me, are you pleased today? Oh, yes. Are you pleased today? Don't be a turkey this Thanksgiving. Calm down. Slow down. Number two, if we're not going to be a turkey this Thanksgiving, not only do we need to calm down and slow down. Number two, exercise forgiveness with thanksgiving. Look over in verse number 13. I love this verse 13. Look at it with me, T. You see, our relationships are integrated within our relationship with God. He's the vine and we're the branch. And the reason some of us are having strained relationships is we're not, watch this, appropriating the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God there's victory in Jesus. Look over here in verse number 13. The scripture says here, and well, let's back up to verse 12. Put on, therefore. Notice he said put off in verse 8. And this in the aorist tense, meaning a past event that the Christians in Colossae and us today are instructed to do because God has already made preparations and provision for us in Christ Jesus. He's not asking us whether we feel like it or not. He's just telling us we can put on and put off. And he says it's a choice. Look at verse 12 again. If in verse 12, say amen. Y'all aren't looking, are you? Come on. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels. Y'all aren't looking, are you? Why aren't you looking? Why aren't you looking at your Bible? Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. I love verse 13. Don't miss this. Look at this. This is good stuff right here. Forbearing one another. You know what that word forbearing means? Are you ready for this? Putting up with each other. Putting up with each other. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we need to put up with each other. Yeah, you got to start putting up with each other. That's right. That's what it means. Forbearing one another. Forbearing. Now look at it. Keep reading. Forbearing one another. And what else? Forgiving one another. Right. Forgiving one another. Say that with me. Forgiving one another. Say it again. Do you believe that's important? How many believe that's important? If you're going to have a relationship this side of heaven, you've got and I've got to learn to forgive each other. Watch this. Forgiving. Look at verse 13 again. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Even, he says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you do. So also do ye. That is, how many have been forgiven? Let me see your hand. You know Jesus has forgiven your sins. Those that didn't raise your hand, I feel sorry for you. You can come right to the altar and get right with God. But what? Jesus has forgiven my sins. I don't know about you, but he's washed my sins away. He does not remember our sin anymore. He puts it in the Red Sea of his own blood, and he says no fishing. As far as the east is from the west, he cast our transgressions, yea, our sins from us. I'm glad, praise God. He doesn't remember again our sin anymore. I'm forgiven, praise God. And therefore, if, watch this, if I've been forgiven, I have no right, and you have no right to have an unforgiving spirit toward anyone. If we've been forgiven a lot, then therefore we are to exercise forgiveness because we've been forgiven. I'll tell you, nobody could do all the things that I've done against God, and yet God in mercy, he didn't give me what I deserve, judgment, but he gave me mercy. I'm glad for his mercy. I'm glad, praise God, for his grace, aren't you? Don't be a Thanksgiving turkey and take God's blessing for granted. Don't be a turkey at Thanksgiving. Hey, recognize you've been forgiven. And by the way, if we're going to have meaning relationships, we've got to not only calm down, slow down, but exercise forgiveness with thanksgiving. Exercise forgiveness with thanksgiving. Tell me, are you exercising forgiveness with thanksgiving? You see, this thing of forgiveness is so very important. And Paul wrote it this way. He said, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. It's letting it go. It's not harboring that anger and that resentment. Here's the fact of the matter. Right now we're in church. Yes, right now we got our church clothes on. Yes, right now we've got in our church mindset. I hope that you have the same mindset when you leave on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. But the truth be known, when we get together with our family at Thanksgiving, often it can be a war. It can be a battle. It can be who's going to outdo who. And if we're not careful, if we don't have forgiveness in our heart, then we can have a tense situation and never really have a breakthrough. No wonder the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any seed of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby cause many to be defiled. Many. It's like a pot on a stove that's boiling. You've seen a pot on a stove that boils over, and it spills out on the stove. When we harbor unforgiveness, when we got anger in our heart, when we're not forgiving, Jesus said, if you don't forgive others from your heart, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Tell me today, let's don't play church, but let's be honest. Is there anybody in your heart right now, anybody, family or friend or coworker, that you know right now that you've got kind of a bitter attitude toward? You really just, truth be known, that you're not praying for them. Oh, no. You're asking God to deal with them. Hey, look, I'm not the judge. God's the judge. And God is a just God. Somebody say amen. God will deal with people. I don't have to play God in their life. It's my responsibility and your responsibility to release the anger and the unforgiveness in our heart toward them. And so today, if we're going to have and not be a Thanksgiving turkey at Thanksgiving. Don't be a turkey at Thanksgiving. We've got to exercise forgiveness with Thanksgiving. How many believe, watch this, how many believe that God can even use somebody in your life who maybe disagrees with you and doesn't see eye to eye with you and is always seemingly trying to get your goat? God can use them kind of folks in your life to make you a better servant for His glory. I know there's some people you'd just rather get rid of out of your life, right? I'd just rather not be around them. They just always make me mad. And every time I'm around them, when I come back, I'm just irritated and frustrated. I'm reminded of David. There was a man by the name of Saul. Anybody remember that name? King Saul. A man that I would say was not in love with David. Rather, he hated David. He was jealous of David. He tried to kill David. He threw a spear at David. David didn't pick up the spear and throw it back. Why? Because David wanted the blessings of God more than getting even. Oh, really? Really? That's right. Could it be that God uses people in our life that rub us the wrong way, as we say, for His ultimate purpose to sand off the rough edges in our life? But I just would really rather not be around them. You don't know what they act like and what they said. Can I tell you something that happened to me recently? Recently, we thank God for the privilege of sharing the Word of God outside the four walls of the church on the radio, and I've gotten a little bit of response. We've gotten a little response to God be the glory. The Word of God's going forth. Well, I got an email, and the email was from a gentleman. This is what he said. I'm not going to read all the email. In fact, I don't remember it all, but I remember someone responded, and they said kind of in essence this. I'm paraphrasing. They said, preacher, I always hear you preachers bashing and talking about Adam and Eve falling in the garden. Don't you know that Adam and Eve were the perfect parents? And anyway, the response is very negative. And anyway, the response, I'm just sharing sharing with you something that I've recently encountered. And the response was just a very critical response. And it was a long response. Anyway, I won't go into all the details other than saying this. The person said, don't you know Adam and Eve were in the garden and they didn't really sin, but there was some kind of chemical in that fruit. And Eve knew if she ate the fruit, she'd be able to have a baby. And that's why she gave it to Adam. And, you know, they all kind of weird stuff out there. Well, when I first saw the email, I thought, the nerve, who is this? They evidently got some extra biblical information. But anyway, and the Lord convicted my heart. Y'all listen to me. How do you respond to your critics? Hello? How do you respond to your critics? Well, I just don't pay attention to them. I just get even with them. God spoke my heart. And the Lord led me to write back and say, hey, at least you're listening, praise God. I know you're listening. Thank you for listening. But we're going to have to agree to disagree on this. And I gave a few reasons why. But my point of saying that is this. It's easy for the devil to use things in our life to get us irritated and agitated and consequently get ineffective in our relationships. And some of y'all, listen to me, I know you, I love you, but some of you got internal conflicts in your family, watch this, and if you're not careful, it spills out into your relationships with your church family. I'm telling you, you've got to resolve some of these conflicts in your heart. It might be other things that have happened, but deep down inside, and you can tell somebody, it don't take you long, it'll show. And if you're not careful, you'll be a turkey at Thanksgiving. Don't be a turkey this Thanksgiving. Get the thing right with the Lord. We're testimony. People are watching us, and we can masquerade it, and we can be sophisticated and all that stuff and try to hide it and suppress it and try to put on a camouflage, counterfeit personality. But deep down inside, it's there, and it's going to come out. I said, it's going to come out. I said, God sees it. And it's better just to go ahead and deal with it and let God deal with it and let God heal the hurts and move on with the Lord. And somebody said, amen and amen and amen. Hey, number three, if we're going to have reconnect and connect with our family, number three, we not only need to, watch this, to calm down, say that with me, calm down and slow down. But number two, we've got to exercise forgiveness with thanksgiving. Who today do you really need to get to the altar today and really need to get with God and really need to pray that thing through? Because if you don't pray it through, if you don't get a breakthrough today, you're going to carry that anger. You're going to carry that bad attitude into the relationship. You might not say anything, but people will be able to tell. Let's get it right with the Lord and walk in the Spirit. And the church said, amen and amen and amen. Number three, being right is not always right. Being right is not always right. Look at verse 14. You can be right and be wrong. And sometimes if we're not careful, watch this. Sometimes if we're not careful, we want to win the battle more than we want to be one with the person we have a relationship with. That's right. Our competitiveness. I want to be right and I'm always right. And so we want to win. Winning, listen to me, winning is not the most important thing. Oneness ought to be more important than winning. Y'all don't want to talk to me today. I understand everybody's got a perfect relationship. I understand. I mean, you know. Oh, listen, brother. Listen, sister. You're in deception, my friend. If you think you got the perfect relationship, I guarantee you if I talk with your spouse or talk with your children and let them say their viewpoint, we've all got flaws. Amen. You can be right and be wrong. Look at verse 14. Find verse 14. And above all these things, put on what? Charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Well, what's charity? Somebody tell me. What is it? Exactly. If we're going to have the kind of relationships that God wants us to have, we've got to what? Number one, calm down. Number two, we've got to exercise forgiveness. Number three, we've got to realize being right is not always right. We can be right and be wrong. Exactly. How many know every single relationship has excess baggage? Talk to me. You've got excess baggage. I hate to break the news to you, but you got some excess baggage. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got some excess baggage. Not one single person said it. That was a setup. Hey, calm down, exercise forgiveness, being right is not always right. We got excess baggage. That's right. Every relationship I know has excess baggage. Look at me. What is your excess baggage? Maybe it was a hurt way back yonder. We got excess baggage. Maybe it was a hurt way back yonder. Let's see. My excess baggage might be some insecurities in my life. My excess baggage might be I just don't know how to love. Your excess baggage may be perfection. Sock with a hole in it. Your excess baggage might be Mr. Right, Mrs. Wrong. What kind of excess baggage have you got? We bring it into our relationships. Excess baggage. Every one of us have excess baggage. Every one of us. Every one of us. And therefore, every relationship needs God. Does. And you need God today, and I need God if you're going to have the kind of relationship that God wants you to have because of all this excess baggage. You gotta, what's the key? What's the key? Being right is not always right. Well, you don't know that, I'm never wrong, and my way is the best way, and you know, if they just listen to me, I know that I've been through that before, and they won't do what I'm telling them to do, and excess baggage. So, what kind of excess baggage have you got? Could your excess baggage and my excess baggage be hindering our relationship? Oh, yeah, it absolutely could. Our preconceived notions, our Mr. Right, Mr. Know-it-all, or Ms. Know-it-all, or Mr. Control, or Mrs. Control. I got to be in control, and because I'm insecure, I've got all this excess baggage, and I'm just going to have a fit if I'm not in control. Someone's well said, you might win the argument but lose the relationship. That's right. What's more important to you, the relationship or winning the argument? Well, today maybe God is showing you that there's got to be a happy meeting. What's the key? Look at verse 14. Love. Charity. That's the key. Charity. Love. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And no wonder Paul said, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Tell me, do you really love your loved ones? Do you really love them enough that some of the excess baggage you're willing to... Listen, Peter says this. I don't confess I understand this completely. Peter says, watch this. Don't miss it. Love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. And if we're not careful, we can play God. Watch this. I'm preaching to myself. We can play God in our loved ones' lives and try to be God in their life. You can't be God in their life. Let God be God. And it's all right to have convictions. It's all right to have discernment and all that stuff. But is being right the most important thing, or is your relationship the most important thing? Oh, yes. Number four, and I'll be done, and it's this. Choose your words. Guard your heart. Say thank you. Say thank you. Say that with me. Say thank you. Say thank you. Thank you. Tell you what, saying thank you will go a long way. Don't be a turkey this Thanksgiving. Calm down. Exercise forgiveness. Being right is not always right. But Don't forget to say thanks. And choose your words. Choose your words. How many believe that's important? Choose your words. Guard your heart and say thank you. I like the sign out there, Kale. I think it says something like, we don't need more to give thanks. We just need to give thanks more. I like that. I read that last night. Beg your pardon? Oh, yes. Amen. Kale's taking notes. Somebody say amen. Amen. Very good, Sissy. Thank you. Hey, look. Somebody said this. It's better to say thanks and not mean it than mean it and not say it. I think you ought to just say thanks to the person you're sitting next to. Thank you for being here today. Really? Thank you for being here today. Man, you're a blessing to me. All right. Choose your words. Death and life. Look at this. Death and life are where? The power of the tongue. You want to know the reference? Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. How many wish you could take back some words, but you can't take them back? You can't take them back once you said them. How many have ever said words you wish you could take back? All right. Yep. But God can bring the healing. God is Jehovah Rapha. God is the... And you realize this is a Gilead. How many got excess baggage today? And you realize this is affecting your relationships. Man, I got so much stuff. But thank God for unconditional love. Thank God God doesn't treat me that way. Hey, look. If we've been forgiven, we ought to extend that forgiveness. That's grace. That's grace. Oh, but they shouldn't do this, and oh, they shouldn't do that. Is being right more important to you or your relationship? Think about it. Let's stand together, can we?